Good morning. We are continuing today with our sermon series called Crossing the Threshold. We are looking this month at four different thresholds that God is inviting us to cross over here in this new year. Last week, we talked about moving from the past into the future. And this week, the threshold we are looking at is crossing from isolation into community. From isolation into community. You see, one of the core truths of the Christian faith is summed up by what God says in Genesis about Adam. It is not good for man to be alone. And we could add, it is not good for woman to be alone either. From the very beginning, God has formed us as human beings for to be deeply connected, to be in relationship and community with other people. And this might seem like kind of an obvious point to you. You know, we might look around at the normal order of things with families and schools, professional networks, neighborhood associations, running clubs, playgroups, churches, and more. It seems like there are all kinds of ways in which we are already connected with other people. It may even appear that community is just the natural and obvious extension of being human, of being alive. But what I want to suggest to you today is that although we have this deep God-given need for community, and although it seems like there are opportunities for community all around us, that in fact we often live not in community, but in isolation. As a starting point today, I want to suggest that you and I, in some ways, are isolated. We are cut off. We are separated somehow from the life that God intends for us with our neighbors and with God. One of the most common complaints that I hear from people when they move into a new community is, it's so hard to meet people. When relationships go bad, we sometimes hear that, well, we just grew apart. When teenagers talk about their experience and the angst that only teenagers can experience, they will often say, nobody understands me. These are all expressions of isolation. Being wheeled into surgery or chemo treatments, battling depression or addiction, anger or grief. It seems that rather than deep community being the easy and natural outgrowth of being human, our experience is just the opposite. We find ourselves stuck and isolated. Physically, emotionally, socially, even spiritually. And true community, the kind of caring connectivity that we long to experience, is so hard to find. So this is the threshold that we are talking about today as we hear this powerful story from Scripture. And as we reflect on the stories of our lives, I think God has something to say to each one of us today. And as we begin, let's pray. O God, beyond all praising, we worship you today. We sit at your feet and seek a word from you. O God, give us ears to hear and give me your word to speak to your community of faith gathered this day. Amen. There was a buzz in the air because Jesus was coming to town. No, I'm not talking about football Jesus. This isn't Tim Tebow or Tom Brady or any of the rest of them. Actually, I thought you might appreciate this. I came across this picture this week. I don't know if you can see it, but it says, "Can you handle some bad news, Timmy?" Well, okay, that's for the football fans among us. Cut that one out. I'm not going to talk about that today. What I want to talk about is the real Jesus, that preacher and teacher and healer that we heard about in our Bible story today. He came to town, and it was a one-day-only kind of engagement, so everybody wanted to be there. And the house where he was speaking quickly filled up with people to capacity, to overcapacity. They spilled out the front door and filled up the front yard of the house. And there was a man in town who, like everybody else, wanted to go and see Jesus. But the problem was he couldn't, because he was paralyzed. He couldn't move around on his own. Consider the life situation of this man from our story. He couldn't do the things that other people could do. like walk, for example, or run, or cook for himself, or have a job, or clean himself, or do whatever he wanted to do. In the ancient world, a person like this paralytic ended up living as beggars on the street, surviving only on the handouts of people who were passing by. This was a man who experienced deep isolation in his life. He was isolated physically, stuck on that mat, unable to move off of it. But not only that, the man in our story was also isolated spiritually. In ancient Israel, people interpreted physical deformities and skin diseases and sometimes even the common cold as a sign of God's displeasure. And so for this man to have this debilitating physical condition, it was a sign to all those who saw it that this man was separated by sin, that he was isolated from God. We remember the story of that man who was born blind in Scripture, and the question that was asked about him was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? This was the mindset of people in those days. So you can imagine the way people must have treated this man and talked about him. He was physically and spiritually and even socially isolated. Except, as Presbyterian pastor John Ortberg points out, this man did have one important thing going for him. He had amazing friends. He was part of one of the killer small groups of all time. And it's these friends who make the story happen. It's these friends who help him cross over the threshold from isolation in his life into new community. These friends bring him to Jesus. Only when they arrive at the house, they can't get inside because of all those people. Remember, it was those spiritual people who had arrived early, had gotten there first, and had taken up all the seats. They weren't about to move over for this guy. But if anybody needed to get close to Jesus, it was this paralytic. And yet nobody offers to give him their seat. Nobody says, let him through. Everybody is focused on their own needs, putting themselves first ahead of anybody else. And this seems like the opposite of community. This is isolation. Only unlike the paralytic, whose isolation is something that anybody could see because of this physical problem, these spiritual people who are inside the house are isolated in a different way. They've got stuff going on in their lives too, isolating them from God and from others, but the difference is that they were really good at hiding it. They kept it under wraps. Inside, not outside. Invisible, not visible. They were good at hiding their sins. Does it sound like anyone you know? So both the paralytic and the spiritual people inside are both isolated in their own ways. But the paralytic doesn't stay that way because he's got friends and his friends have an idea, a crazy idea. They carry him up onto the roof of the house and they start digging their way through the roof. This didn't take a jackhammer or anything like that. Roofs in those days were built out of wooden crossbeams with then filler material or even earth and sod stuffed in between. So it didn't take too long before they had dug a full hole big enough to pass their friend through, and they lowered him by ropes down into the room all the way to Jesus. And this is one of the marks of great community. Not only do these guys care enough to help their friend, but they are willing to take a risk together and to do something kind of crazy. This is a picture for us about what deep community looks like. I wonder if you have this experience in your own life. As you hear this story, where do you experience something like this? Where people can recognize and carry each other's burdens. Where you can take risks together. Where you can do something fun and even a little crazy sometimes. Great families have this quality. Great groups of friends are this way. Great churches are called to be like this. There's a quote from Henry Nouwen that I really love, and it says, if we want to have all of our bases covered before we act, nothing exciting will happen. But if we dare to take a few crazy risks because God asks us to do so, many doors that we didn't know existed will be opened for us. Many doors, and maybe even skylights that we didn't know existed, will be opened for us. You know, when those friends were dangling their buddy down by the ropes through the hole in the roof, Jesus looked, and it says when he saw their faith, when Jesus saw the faith of those friends, he told the man in question, "Your sins are forgiven." Later he said, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." This paralytic who had experienced so much separation, both physically and spiritually, had now crossed over from isolation, stuck on his mat, into community with the four friends above him and with Jesus at its center. You know, it was with those friends that this man was able to show his need and to let someone else carry his burden. It's with his friends that he comes to see Jesus. And it's with his friends, in that little community that they form, that he finally experiences the wholeness and healing from God. His good is tied up with their good, and their faith impacts his life. But the scribes don't like it. That's another word for those religious, spiritual people inside. They see what is happening here, and they say, "Jesus, that's not right. He should have waited in line like everybody else. He should have been like us, good enough to get here on time." And that's kind of separation talking. Because what they're really saying is, he should have been strong enough, or good enough, or holy enough to do this on his own. But friends, here's the truth. None of us are strong enough, or good enough, or holy enough to do this on our own. In fact, we're not even made to do this on our own. We are made to do this together. That's why God gave us a church. That's why God gave us each other. Amen? Amen. You know, we all experience the pain of isolation sometimes. And I wonder for you today, what's your isolation? What's that part of your life that keeps you separated or cut off? Maybe it's a health issue for you or a loved one. Maybe it's long-term unemployment or worry about your job. Maybe it's an old hurt that won't go away, or the bitterness of a relationship that's not quite right, or a persistent sin you can't shake, or something else known only to you. What is the part of you that keeps you apart? John Ortberg writes in his excellent work on this story that the mat that this paralytic was sitting on is somehow symbolized his isolation. He says, "This mat, which according to society should have created a gulf between him and them, became an opportunity for servanthood and acceptance." The paralytic was not the only one in this story who had a mat. His mat, his issues, his isolation were just more obvious for other people to see. But as Ortberg says, we all have our mats. What's yours? Some of us have mats that are less obvious for people to see. Others more so. But God can use that. You know, the story, the basic trajectory of the story is that there's a paralytic and some friends bring him to Jesus and he is healed. But there's another story I want to tell you about another paralytic. And this wasn't somebody who lived 2,000 years ago. He's alive right now. He's here in the front row. And his name is Rolf. Rolf has had medical, physical problems his whole life long. He doesn't sit on a mat, he sits in a chair. And he doesn't have four friends who carry him around. He has one friend who pushes him in that chair, who drives him in a special van, brings him up the elevator, wheels him all the way here every Sunday to be with Jesus. But God works in our weakness in surprising ways. Because while all these years, people have been bringing Rolf to church, bringing Rolf to Jesus, here's the twist. It turns out that Rolf has been bringing them to Jesus. You know, through the years, we have noticed a stream of Rolf's friends and co-workers, people who've worked with him, who have come after the job is over to become part of our congregation, to worship with us, to join with us, to circle around Jesus with us. God works in this surprising way. God flips it upside down. Where we thought we were strong, bringing others in, it turns out we're weak. We're being brought. Or in our weakness, God is using that to bring others, to join us together. God uses Rolf's isolation for the kingdom. God can use you, broken, weak, foolish as you are, and as I am. God uses us and asks us this day to cross over. Maybe for the first time, or maybe again and again, to cross over from depending on ourselves, or being caught up in our sins, or being cut off from something that by something that happened to us, to cross over from that into a life of deeper community. Whatever your life situation is this day, hear this message. Whether you're dangling by ropes or sitting comfortably in your pew. Brother, sister, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. Cross over from the pain of isolation into the beauty and the risk, the hope and the love of community with Christ and with one another. Amen.